Sister Cheryl. Anybody want to name a few? Okay, Brother Dave, would you pray for us? Okay, welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church Seekers Sunday School class. Are you reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, we'll get you a schedule. There's some out there in the hall. You don't have to read by schedule, but good Lord willing, there'll be another Bible Readers Banquet coming up in January, and everyone that reads their Bible through this year can come free of charge. Food, fun, and fellowship. Helen Keller said the Bible's the only way out of the dark. Brother Melvin said he got more out of reading the Bible than listening to someone trying to explain it. So go ahead and open your collection of reliable historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies and came from God and not from man. Open them up to what chapter? What book? John. What chapter? 12 is correct. In chapter 11, the Lord Jesus was weeping with those that weep. And now He's getting ready to rejoice with those that rejoice. Let's look at verse 1 here. And then, this is John 12, 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead. If you're wondering which Lazarus he's talking about, it's the one that used to be dead, but he's not dead no more. That's the one we're talking about, whom He raised from the dead. It's 6 days before Passover. It's in Bethany, and it's in the house of Lazarus, which had been dead. The circumstances are in verse 2. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. It's a picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb, our future position, sitting around the table with Christ. We're around the table this morning. Come and dine, the song says. We got the manna, the water, we're ready to go. In Jerusalem, they've been plotting His death. In Bethany, they're planning His supper. Lazarus pictures a new life, worship, if you will, a fellowship, I mean. Mary pictures new worship, and Martha pictures new service. We need one of each. Actually, I need to be all three. But we need at least one of each in each church. We're dead with no knowledge of Him. We need raised from the dead to fellowship with Him. Verse 3, here's a worshiper. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. A worshiper. Every church needs one. I cannot substitute activity for worship, for sitting at His feet. Right. There's nothing that will take the place of that. Right. Martha's a servant, and again, Lazarus is a picture of fellowship. And we all need that. The cost, a man would have to work for a year to earn enough money to buy this pound of spikenard. It was expensive. It was too expensive for her to waste on herself. She didn't waste it on Lazarus. Her brother was dead in the last chapter, and she didn't waste it on him. She saved it for the Lord, for a special occasion. Now let's look at that in Matthew 10, 42. And whosoever shall give to drink, maybe you don't have any spikenard, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Give what you have. The Lord doesn't expect you to give something you don't have. You can only give what you have. Mainly I should give myself. And here we go with the criticism. In verse 4, there's one in every crowd. Here's a big one. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? He's privileged. He's really more than a disciple. We can be a disciple. A student is a disciple. A follower is a disciple. But Judas is an apostle. He was in the inner core. And the size of the sum was not lost on Judas. He knew what it was. John didn't miss it either. John wrote it down, how much it was. She had saved up for it. But you can never give too much to the Lord. She didn't waste it on herself. She didn't waste it on Lazarus. She gave it to the Lord. Verse 6 is the pilfering. This he said not, Judas said, this he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the bag and bear what was therein. He knew he'd get part of it. If it was 300 pieces, he'd get part of it. Let's look at it in John 6, 70 and 71. John 6, 70 and 71. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, which he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. And then also in 1 Timothy, we get another picture of it. 1 Timothy 6, 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now the love of money is the problem. You can love 300 pence or $30 or 30 cents, but loving it's what's wrong, not the money. Verse 7, the condemnation of the anointing, the scorn. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. And verse 8, back in John 12. Now, for the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. The defender of the poor, the sympathy and the stewardship that the Lord shows is marvelous here. He said, leave her alone. Leave her alone. She knows what she's doing. She's worshiping. Verse 9 is a witness. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he'd raised from the dead. Here's a witness. Lazarus is a witness. Every church needs one. No crowd ever came to see him before he got a new life.
Right.
The crowd didn't. There might have been somebody came, but the crowd didn't. The count was much. There was much people in the crowd. The curiosity. It was dangerous for Adam and Eve. They lost everything. Got kicked out. Don't forget, it killed the cat. Curiosity. Down home curiosity. Sometimes making little insignificant matters try to make something out of it. The curiosity. There is some good curiosity. How about Psalm 46:10? Sometimes it's just plain old nosy, like maybe on Mayberry. I won't say like now. How about Mayberry? Psalm 46:10. It'd be good to be curious about the wonder of God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Philippians 3:10. How about curiosity for God and the things of God? Philippians It's in here somewhere. Philippians 3:10. That I may know Him. That'd be a good thing to be curious about, wouldn't it? That I may know Him. Oh, I wonder how he likes his iced tea. Does he like a lot of ice? Does he like any lemon in it? Too much sugar, a little bit of sugar? I wonder what he likes. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. How about some curiosity for the Word of God, like in Acts 17:11. These were more noble. The right kind of curiosity might help me be noble. I've never been noble. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Curiosity about the Word of God. Psalm 143, how about the will of God and the way of God? Psalm 143:8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. And then in John 1, we see it again. Curiosity about the will of God and the way of God. John 1:38-39. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And then there's curiosity about the warmth of God. Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of God, which passeth knowledge. I want to know Him, but I know He's so big, I can't really know Him. I'll never get done. It's the book of a lifetime. And getting to know Him's the joy of a lifetime. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then there's curiosity for the work of God. John 6. John 6:29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent. It's pretty simple. The Lord made it simple so that those downstairs would understand it. So that even a country boy could get in. So that anybody might get in, whosoever will. A belief based on curiosity wanted to see Lazarus more than Jesus. Let's read it again. It's verse 9, John 12:9. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that He was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only. That's not the only reason some people come to church. But that they might see Lazarus also, whom He had raised from the dead. Some will travel many miles to see something sensational or spectacular. But what about Sunday school? What about preaching? What about reading the Word? It's spectacular. About praying. About Sunday night church and Wednesday night church. I tell you what, you're missing out if you're not here on Wednesday. Some just came to see Lazarus. Not to see Jesus only, but to see Lazarus. You don't know why I came. I might have come so you'd see my new tie or something. You don't know why I'm here. You don't know. People come for different reasons. Verse 10 and 11, a terrible reaction. But the chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. They just got murder in their heart. These are religious leaders that have murder, and they're just set on murdering somebody. Somebody. They're filled with venom for a man living the resurrected life. But the chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Went away from their religion. Went away from their church house to outside the camp. To independent, if you will. Verse 12 is the reception. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. This is the practice. This is what they did. This is prompted by verses 17 and 18. Look on down there just a little bit. The people, therefore, that was with him when they called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. And then the reaction is they come and see. Come and see. The practice is in verse 13. They took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. It's praise for a saving king. It's praise for a sovereign king. They're praising him. And the problem is soon these Hosannas would change to crucify him within about a week. In about a week, they're going to be turncoats, chameleons. They're going to change their tune and be crying, crucify him. These palm leaves were for a king returning from a battle, for victory. His hour had arrived, and he knew it. And for once, for the first time, he draws attention to himself. Here is the Messiah, the King. 14 and 15 is the ride. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy King, thy capital K King, thy big King, cometh the King of glory, the King of all kings, sitting on an ass's colt. It wasn't a war horse. He's riding a donkey. This is the first time he came. The first time. Titus 2, my own personal favorite. Titus 2, 11. For the grace of God. How'd you get in? I know how I got here. Same way. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking forward to that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. One, the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. One. It's beyond usual, the great appearing. Brother Clark was asking me this morning, was I ready? He said, it might be today. Might be today. He's coming back. He's still coming. Which one are you talking about, Brother Rick? The one who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Luke 19:30. Now, don't try this at home, but Luke 19:30, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him thither. You ever tried that? Getting on a colt that nobody ever been on? You ever tried that? the master, I think he just leaned over, picked up one big old ears and said, "It's me. It's me." You especially don't want to try that in a palm-waving parade. You don't want to try it. Don't do this at home. Some call this the triumphal entry, but that's going to happen a little bit later. Let's look at it. Revelation 19. And I saw heaven open. And behold, a white Tennessee walker. Behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called capital F, faithful. And big T, true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. And he had a name written, which no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the capital, big Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. By the way, that's us. The armies that's coming back with him. That's the first time he comes, he's coming for us. The next time he comes, he's coming back with us. He's got blood all over him because he's been cutting off heads. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth out the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of big A, Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, big capital, King of Kings and Lord of Lord. Triumphal entry is what we're talking about. That's the real one right there. That's when he steps out publicly. The whole world will see. The whole world will see. Verse 16 now, back in John 12, 16. The riddle. These things understood not his disciple at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. Well, when he was glorified, when's that going to be? I'm asking, when's that going to be? When's he going to be glorified? It's just going to be in a few days. We already mentioned it. Calvary is right. That's what he called his glory. That's when he's glorified. Zechariah 9. We would think it would be bad. It's the end. It is man's worst day and man's best day, all rolled up in one. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly. I said rejoice, they're not rejoicing. It's what Floyd said. Andy, I told him rejoice, they're not rejoicing. It says here, rejoice greatly. O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh. He's still coming, Clark. Unto thee, he is just and having salvation. He is salvation. Lowly and riding upon an ass, upon the colt, a foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace unto the heathen as me, and dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. John 14, 26. We're talking about glorified, when he's going to be glorified. 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, and you won't be puzzled anymore. It won't be a riddle anymore after Calvary, after I raised from the dead, whatsoever I have said unto you. Back to chapter 12 now, 17 and 18. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. There was like possible 3 to 4 million Jews here at this time at the Passover. Once a year is when the Lord does this. So every eye will be on Him. So that all will behold Him. All eyes are on Him. 19, the reasoning. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is going after Him. Well, the world didn't go after Him, but that's their fear and failure. That's what they're afraid is going to happen. In verse 20, the people are asking, and there were certain Greeks also among them that came up to worship at the feast. Hey, that's us right there, the Gentiles, the Greeks. We're going to get in on this. It's going to end up being whosoever will. 21, and the same came therefore to Philip, which was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. It's an earnest desire right now. Right now, right here, they're seeking for the right reason. It's not for a meal. It's not to be healed. They're seeking Jesus for the right reason. Let's look at it in John 10:16. I'm glad we can get in on it. I'm glad some Gentiles can get in. I'm glad it's whosoever will. I'm glad Jesus passed by my way one day. John 10:16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd, one body, one baptism, one church, one faith, one Lord. Acts 17:4. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. So Greeks and women can get in. I'm glad anybody can get in. Some of my favorite people's women. Number one's Kim. I better move on. 22 again. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Well, what would we tell Him? We're going to do the same? We're going to tell Him? How about our perils? About half of us is in peril. Matthew 8:25. And His disciples came to Him, woke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. They're all around, they're perishing. And I need to tell Jesus they're perishing. Lord, we're perishing. Our friends, our neighbors, our relatives are perishing. What else am I going to tell Him? I can tell Him my questions. It's not wrong to ask Him something. Matthew 24:3. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world? I guess John Yates is going to tell us this summer in the elective. Is today the last day to sign up?
Yes, sir.
Going to be an elective this summer on prophecy. What else are we going to tell the Lord? How about our sickness? Mark 1:30. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell Him of her. We need to tell Him. We're talking about Sister Jean, and she came home. We need to tell Him. Some say, now Simon is Peter, another name for Peter. Some say Peter was the first pope, and some say the pope's not going to be married. But here, Peter had a mother-in-law. You wouldn't be too swift to get a mother-in-law and no wife. I'd go ahead and get the wife with it while I was at it. I wouldn't just do the mother-in-law. Hey, we can come to Him with our troubles. Mark 6:35. I have him all the time. I have flat tires all the time. I come and talk to him and he fixes them. He airs them up. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desert place and now the time is far past. Send them away that we may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." That'd be a trouble, wouldn't it? I'm like Brother Dave prayed about the refrigerator. I'm not worried about what I'm going to eat today. It's when. Maybe where. It's an American thing. We could come to him with our needs. Mark 10:51, and Jesus answered and said to him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." I might need to know, I need to understand some things. I'm so ignorant. The Lord's forever protecting me from myself. We could come to him with our failures. Mark 9:28, and when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast him out?" Oh, I fail so many times. Luke 5:5, and Simon answering said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word we'll let down the net." Oh, I went fishing, not caught. Went two times this spring, not a bite. Not a bite. Just like he's, "Hey, I could come tell Jesus about it." Yeah. Thank you, brother. Family, how about family? I could tell him about my family. Yeah. Anybody have family problems? 9:38, and behold, a man of the company cried out saying, "Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child." I reckon he knows about being the only son. I reckon he knows about that. Good thing to come to him about that. Every once in a while we win a game, win the ball game, we come tell him about that. Luke 10:17, and the 70 returned again with joy saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." Then there's disappointments. I could tell Jesus about that. But with disappointments, Luke 24:18, and one of them whose name was Cleophas answering said to him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" The preacher gave me a book one time that said disappointments are his appointments. But sometimes we get disappointed. It didn't go the way I thought it would. But a lot of times it turns out better when I tell Jesus about it. Better than I thought it would have. And then, of course, death. We can tell Jesus about that. John 11:21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." I just need to tell Jesus about it. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. In Christ's name, amen.